Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Where did that come from, Gene? You and I have been done, what, 200 shows, and you've never had me do the setup, and you do the Paracast. That's great.
Turn around and fair play. See, Richard, you just heard a show break that was unique. It was special.
Oh, that's good.
He wants to stay out of this, you see.
Yeah, don't blame me.
We always blame you, Chris.
Dang. Well, I asked a question about Crowley, so I guess if anything would create a change, that would be it.
Yeah, the answer to your question is yes. And the question was really saying, did major 19th and 20th century occult figures like Crowley and Eliphas Levi, affect, the kind of the modern pagan revival. And yes, I think they did. You know, I think the Golden Dawn, which was a Victorian, as you know, it was a Victorian occult lodge that Crowley belonged to, was very, very influential. And I think a lot of the rites, the revived pagan religion comes from that. Now, that doesn't mean, that I believe that the whole thing is just a total modern fabrication. You know, I suspect that, let's say that there were people who were interested in, this kind of magical stuff way back when. Well, they're probably not all.
Richard, hold on. What do you mean way back when? The Golden Dawn system of magic, its offshoots in Rosicrucianism, Freemasonry, you could go down the line of offshoots from that particular system of magic. They all claim to have some sort of connection with Egyptian high magic. Do you feel that that claim is accurate? Do you think that there is a thread or a connection that goes back to dynastic Egypt, or do you think they're just kind of playing around with that particular connection and making themselves more important than they really are?
You know, whether they have a connection with dynastic Egypt or not, it's not something I could say. I mean, there's no real proof of it, but it would be very difficult to prove it negatively, that is to say, to prove that there was none. To kind of go back to what I was saying, assuming that these people, all along have been interested in this kind of thing, they probably read and studied, the magical books and texts that were around, and there were, there was a magical school in London, started by a man named Francis Barrett in, around 1800. His book, The Magus, is very influential and still available. So I think the people who are into these old traditions, probably, kept some very, key elements of their, traditions, and incorporated some that came around. I don't know. It's probably not a terribly smart thing to plug someone else's book. You're plugging your own, but
go ahead.
There's a book. I edited it when it came out, and I worked for certain publishers. It's called Wielding Power by Charles R. Tetworth. Which has which I believe, has some connection to the old religion and even has some of the practices and rites of it. It doesn't look terribly much like Wicca, but it's its own version. And, I would encourage people to check that out if, they're interested in, what some of these, old practices might have been like.
How about the alchemists, John Dee, Saint Germain, supposedly had incredible abilities, whether as a magician or a conjurer? I personally have seen the big silver platter, that's on display in Versailles, that is half transmuted from silver into gold. Where do you come down on the alchemists? Do you think they held in to some sort of ancient process or, you know, the ability to manipulate things based on ancient knowledge?
Well, one thing you have to consider is that, as a matter of fact, people have been producing, you know, pretty amazing artifacts for like a long, long time. You know, like certain techniques of the stained glass windows of the medieval cathedrals are a famous example. So the idea that everybody was just like totally technologically primitive and knew nothing, you know, about anything until, you know, Mr. Science came along in, you know, the 18th century is itself a rather naive one, I think. So I think they had I think there was genuine knowledge there. You know, they certainly emphasized, or at least the best of them emphasized, that, you know, this kind of work of transmutation could not be done. I mean, it can't be done in the way that science is done to science today, the experimenter is supposed to be totally, detached from the experiment. And, the ancient alchemists and even the modern alchemists would say, no, actually, the state of mind, consciousness preparation of the, alchemist is extremely important, and it can't be
said, right, probably one of the ingredients in an alchemical process.
Right. And, you know, that's that, you know, maybe take us on to a, you know, off the subject, but, you know, it's another thing that has to be seriously considered when you're talking about scientific investigations of the paranormal. You know, because it's not quite so easy to, evaluate in a lab sense than, you know, as, I don't know, the typical physics experiment. The state of consciousness of the researcher and the participants are extremely important.
Well, obviously, and that was determined by Heisenberg, his uncertainty principle, and the Copenhagen interpretation, that the actual act of observing any sort of process is going to alter it. But, you know, let's get back to that subject of ancient knowledge. And the opening sentence or paragraph, actually, in chapter 8 of your book, Supernatural, is titled Masonic Civilization. And you say, Masonry. To some, the word connotes an underground cabal that, through means unknown or scarcely imaginable to ordinary mortals, topples governments and manipulates currencies, or has Beyonce flashing sigils during the halftime of the Super Bowl. To others, more adept at observation than imagination, it evokes images of solid citizens in cheap suits conjugating at the lodge on the second story of a shabby downtown commercial building. In either case, today's seekers may wonder why masonry should interest them. Richard Smalley, should masonry interest us? Are we dealing with some sort of, like, deep, sort of conspiratorial manipulation of world events by the power elite?
Well, if we are, I don't think the Masons as an organized body, constitute that.
Is there something akin to that that's operating, besides the power of money and influence and power and control?
Well, you know, there are always people conspiring to rule the world. And the question, you know, and to, you know, make lots of money and so on. The question is, like, whether they're all in cahoots. And, you know, in the end, it's a little hard to see, you know, all of these very, very disparate interests, you know, being masterminded by some, you know, secret society, hidden away somewhere.
That's exactly what Lawrence Rockefeller told me when I asked him question. No, seriously.
Really?
He said, if you think for a second that we could even agree what to talk about, let alone where to talk about it and what we were going to have on the agenda, you know, it doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
Of course, I didn't believe him, but continue.
We cannot continue unless we share this time with our benefactors. Richard Smalley joining us. He's author of Supernatural. With Gene and Chris says at this time you're in
the Paracast.
Is there a secret UFO agenda Do strange creatures from the darkest corners of the mind roam the earth? Is there evidence for mind control, time travel, or devious government conspiracies? Find out the inside scoop on the latest conspiracies, paranormal activity, and floating phenomena when you subscribe to Tim Beckley's Conspiracy Journal. It's jam-packed with stories, special book and DVD promotions, and the best news, it's absolutely free, sent right to your mailbox. Plus, a bonus free email newsletter sent out every Friday. Simply send an email with your name and address to MrUFO at webtv.net. That's MrUFO at webtv.net. Find out what they don't want you to know.
Hi, this is Peter Kronschommel from Midas Resources. As you know, federal government spending is at an all-time high, and inflation will be a direct result of the spending policy. European government and central bank spending policies have put the European Union on the brink of collapse. What are you doing right now to protect yourself financially? Are your assets working for you or against you? One thing is certain. Having physical possession of gold and silver will guarantee that no matter what happens to our economy or the dollar, your investment will never be worthless. And it will protect you from that hidden tax, inflation. If you've been thinking about investing in physical possession of precious metals or having an IRA in precious metals, I can help. Call me today, Peter Kronschnabel, 800-686-2237, extension 108. And I'll take the time to personally put together a portfolio designed to protect what you've worked so hard for. Call 800-686-2237, extension 108. You've worked hard your whole life, and I want to work hard for you. Call Peter at 800-686-2237, extension 108.
If you're considering a water filter, have you heard about AquaPail? AquaPail from FreezeDryGuy.com has huge advantages over many other water filters. American-made AquaPail units are designed and engineered to not just filter contaminated water, but capture or kill all bacteria and viruses to non-detectable levels. AquaPail has the fastest flow rate of any other water filter on the market, filtering a gallon of contaminated water in about 5 minutes. That's water when you need it, now. Get the world's fastest, safest, and most reliable gravity-fed portable water treatment system for surface, well, and wastewater sources. AquaPail. Available in 4 sizes starting at only $100. And all orders to the lower 48 ship free. Call 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. That's 866-404-3663 or freezedryguy.com. 100% veteran-owned. The Freeze Dry Guy.
Injuries, slow healing, aches and pains, constipation, weakness, fatigue are all common the older one gets. The progressive deterioration of the body that occurs almost universally the older one gets can partly to significantly be prevented with conscientious attention to nutrition. If the Hanselmen can play rugby in their 90s, then it is possible for everyone in North America to experience a more youthful life as well. One key ingredient to warding off aging and reversing some of it is the type and quality of protein consumed. All protein foods or supplements you currently consume are heat damaged, destroying 50 to 75% of your ability to utilize the bodybuilding amino acids. One World Whey is not heat damaged and allows your body to utilize 100% of the amino acids. This feat no one else has achieved. The results to your health can be amazing. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworldwhey.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
With Gene and Chris in the Paracast, Richard Smalley, author of Supernatural, about to answer a question and comment from Chris. Richard?
Okay. I don't know quite where you want me to go with the question. I mean, do you want me to talk about, like, international conspiracies in general? Do you want me to
talk about
Well,
I don't know. You bring up some really interesting points about Masonry in this chapter, and why don't you go ahead and sort of encapsulate your thinking and then maybe kind of riff on it a little bit.
Okay. Well, now, the first thing you have to understand is, of course, that Masonry is not a secret society. Why is it a secret society? Well, you've heard of it, haven't you?
Well, it's an old boys club, really. I mean, it's like kind of a, it's like a fraternity.
Well, yeah, and it's, that's, you know, sometimes people complain that, you know, it's nothing more than that. Other people only want that. Well, the history of Masonry is kind of, long and complicated and controversial. But, you know, the most reputable views, you know, say that, well, Masonry kind of grew out of these stonemasons guilds, you know, that operated in late medieval times and for various reasons became, interested in mystical speculation in the 17th century. And, you know, at that point, gentlemen who were in search of occult knowledge started to join. And, you know, that was the, you know, transformation of what was called operative masonry into, speculative masonry. Those are the terms used. You know, the Masons were, you know, particularly active and influential, in the 18th century. You know, they were, you know, very instrumental in, the American Revolution, the French Revolution, the unification of Italy in the mid 19th century.
I love that lithograph of George Washington with his Masonic apron on.
Right, right. And, you know, I mean, and he was, you know, obviously, you know, quite a devoted Mason. You know, Masonry's influence and power, well, it's kind of gone up and down. It waned seriously in the U.S., in the 1820s when there was a strong, anti-Masonic movement that got started. And it, you know, it started to pick up steam again, in, the 20th century. I think, you know, the high point for Masonic membership, you know, kind of in the 50s. Since then it sort of dropped out.
Albert Pike had a little bit to do with a spike in interest.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's definitely, Albert Pike was, you know, certainly a very curious figure, the author of Morals and Dogma. He's like a former Confederate general. You know, he wrote, you know, a great deal on, you know, Masonry and the esoteric. Now, the other thing about Masonry is, of course, that Masonry does not entail any belief. That is to say, you don't have to believe in anything except a supreme being. That's why, you know, there's like a G, on the, you know, Masonic, emblem.
Right. Just beyond the square and on the level.
Right. All of these rituals that they go through. I mean, I'm not a Mason, so, you know, A, I haven't gone through it, but B, I'm also able to talk freely about it because I'm, you know, any pledges to anybody. You know, as I understand it, you know, the meanings of these Masonic rituals, are always left to the individual to decide. So there's no authoritative interpretation of what they mean or what they're supposed to mean. There are a lot of, there's a lot of literature about it. There are a lot of guesses and that kind of thing. You know, a lot of it written by Masons themselves, but nothing that has, you know, the kind of authority that, you know, say a papal pronouncement would have. So, you know, in that sense, Masons seem very much committed to freedom of thought. They had, you know, their heyday in the, you know, as I say, well, early 20th centuries. There was a lot of fraternalism. The Masons kind of made it, you know, they kind of went down for a while, and then they came back in the 19th century. Fraternalism, you know, was much more important as a movement in those days.
So it's just basically a frat. There's no real conspiracy involved in the Masons, you know, think.
I don't think that, you know, not in any kind of, you know, some kind of plot to, like, take over a world government or anything like that.
Well, I think the lower levels, yeah, you could say that, but... there may be a little something at the upper echelons, but we won't get into that. That would be digressing too far.
Yeah. It's something I certainly don't know. I don't have any proof or evidence of it. So, you know, beyond a certain point, there's not much I can really say.
Okay, let's put the Masons aside. Set the Masons aside. That's the sound of Masons being set aside. Sorry to insult them if they're listening.
Yeah.
There's one thing I hear that obviously raises its head anytime you talk about paranormal and ancient civilizations and all this stuff. The presence of ancient astronauts in ancient times and UFOs in modern times. What's your take on it?
Well, you mentioned C.G. Jung earlier and his book on flying saucers, which was published, I think, in 1957. And basically, we're still with his verdict. People are seeing, you know, we are seeing something, but one doesn't know what it is.
A modern myth of things seen in the sky.
Yeah. You know, I think we're at a point where, you know, as people often say with UFOs, you know, 95% of the cases, you know, can be explained away as weather balloons or whatever you like. But of course, that still leaves, the 5% of very, very mystifying, cases. I remember reading, fairly recently, articles written by the, heads of the, Belgian and Brazilian air forces, you know, which basically said, you know, our people are seeing things. We wish the United States would share what they know about it, but they're not telling us anything at all. Now, you know, when you're talking about the head of a, you know, an air force of a major nation, you know, you're getting to the point of beyond, you know, crackpot theories.
Well, the other thing to bear in mind, too, is when they start worrying about what the U.S. knows and why that information isn't being shared, it has an implication, which is that there is information to be shared of some significance.
Well, that's it. Yeah. You know, you know, that's precisely, you know, the question that, you know, can't be answered. You know, it seems fairly clear that, at a fairly early point in the whole UFO phenomenon, the, U.S. government, you know, made a point to, downplay and discredit any belief in UFOs. And, you know, it, as far as I know, it still does. But, you know, we're now at a point where, you know, a lot of people have seen something or another. None of the explanations are really all that great, you know, when you get right down to it. The idea that, you know, there's really some kind of, you know, where would these extraterrestrials come from?
Well, the other thing here, which puts the cart before the horse here, is are they extraterrestrials to begin with before we even speculate mm-hmm. as to where they might come from? We have Richard Smalley joining us, author of Supernatural. You're with Gene, you're with Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also print catalogs. Convert from so many formats, I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You could save money when you buy Graphic Converter. Use the coupon code Night Owl. Use the coupon code Night Owl to get a special price for Graphic Converter. Go to LemkeSoft.com. That's LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com.
Food storage? Check. Survival tools? Check. Weapons and water filters? Check. But what about a permanent source of cooking power that can run forever without buying fuel or paying for maintenance? Introducing Afterburner Stoves, home of the original patented rocket stove, the Kelly Kettle, and the Solo Stove. Afterburner Stoves has what you need and now offers all GCN listeners our complete preparedness package with the means to cook meals and sanitize water. Whether you dig in or bug out, cook almost any meal with just a handful of sticks. We already have the lowest online prices guaranteed. guaranteed. But if you enter coupon code GCN at checkout, we'll knock off an additional 15% and send you our amazing 6-hour solar rechargeable light bulb absolutely free. All for only $249. Visit AfterburnerStoves.com or call 866-716-5214. 866-716-5214. AfterburnerStoves.com. Cook hot meals with just a handful of sticks.
Looking back on 2012, I know personally I'm thanking God that my family and I made it through the year. From natural disasters like Hurricane Sandy and the devastating summer drought, to the family hardships brought on by a disastrous economy, our hearts go out to those that have lost everything. My friends at eFoods Direct hear from customers every day that are fortunate to weather life's storm by having a supply of food on hand. Danny from New York City wrote in following Hurricane Sandy and said, "Almost all the grocery stores are closed, but I managed to get my eFoods just in time to be able to help my sister and my niece. Bottom line, it's better to be prepared 10 years too early than one day too late. Heed common sense's warning and do what I've done. Call 800-409-5633 today or go to eFoodsDirect.com/Alex. They have the best tasting, long-term storable food on the planet. Call 800-409-5633 and ask about the Alex Jones special or go to eFoodsDirect.com/Alex. Get self-sufficient today. Call 800-409-5633 or eFoodsDirect.com/Alex.
Hello?
Congratulations.
For what?
For losing all that weight. How'd you do it so fast?
ASAP.
ASAP what? What's that mean?
Are you ready to get as skinny as possible, as soon as possible, as simple as possible, and as sexy as possible?
I'm listening.
Then get with the ASAP program. It's real and it works. No smooth talk, no slick advertising, and no exaggerated claims of success.
I've got to know more.
Welcome to ASAP, as slim as possible. Whether you have 10, 20, or 50 pounds to lose, ASAP is your weight loss answer. ASAP targets the abnormal fat reserves and makes them available to be burned as fuel and contains no caffeine or hormones. Order ASAP at wholesale prices or join the team to share the business with others. Visit GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Lose weight and look great with ASAP, as slim as possible.
Hi, this is Nick Pope. You're listening to the Paracast.
With Gene and Chris, you're in the Paracast with Richard Smalley. And the question here that was raised, where would these extraterrestrials come from? And I mentioned to Richard, and you could respond to what I said, why even assume if they are real that they are necessarily extraterrestrial?
Well, you're right about that. The explanations that kind of posit that they come from, you know, someplace on our planet, don't seem terribly convincing either. To my mind, the debunkers are right in that, any of the explanations we can kind of think of are unsatisfying, but, you know, we're still seeing something and our people are still seeing something. And, you know, we have to, give that some kind of respect or honor.
And it's not just seeing things. There are real photographs. There is trace evidence. We have one researcher, Ted Phillips, who's collected a lot of that trace evidence and has explored it. In fact, he may be on the Paracast soon. He got in touch with me very recently about having more information to present. The point being that something is being seen. It seems to be metallic. It seems to be capable of rapid maneuvers. It seems to land. Sometimes they see creatures or entities in connection with it, so what might it be? There's a story out this week that now they have found evidence of a possible small planet, Earth-like planet, 13 light years away, and that's a tremendous distance to us, but if that civilization's a couple of thousand years ahead of us, it may just be a walk down the street.
That's interesting. I hadn't heard that. Goes back to, you know, one reason that I think we're, you know, so interested in this area to begin with, in that we have this kind of very strong intuition that reality is more than it appears, and there's a real hunger for exploration of that and a desire to, you know, okay, well, what is all this stuff? And A lot of times the answers are kind of very speculative or, a bit strange, but I think there is that human desire to know, and, I think that's very legitimate and it needs to be honored.
Let me throw you a wacky theory out there, since I'm pretty good at wacky theories, and that is, what if the presence of UFOs and similar mysteries is designed primarily to make us think about the possibilities they present?
Well, that's an interesting, that's definitely an interesting point of view. Of course, it leaves you with the question of, who is creating these mysteries, but it's definitely possibility. This is an area where there are not too many possibilities that are easy to rule out, right away.
Well, we can't rule out anything, but think of it this way. If there's a collective unconscious that can create UFOs that seem to be, as much as we can detect, real, maybe that collective unconscious is controlling our destiny as we move towards the future.
Well,
maybe time doesn't exist in that other world.
Maybe we're trying to pull ourselves off planet. Maybe there's some sort of collective imperative going on.
Yeah, the possibilities are endless. I think we have to at least kind of give ourselves permission to, think about these things and to do so in a way that's kind of neither, mindlessly skeptical nor, mindlessly believing, and I think there are certainly a lot of mindless believers, but there are also a lot of mindless skeptics out there. And,
oh boy.
I think a mature, kind of sober view of that, assuming that this is what you want, of this whole situation is somewhere in between.
Well, I think one of the things we are always hoping for, which never seems to happen in the UFO field, is we go back to the beginning, because they've been doing this for 50, 60 years now. Oh, there's spaceships or whatever. It is, okay, let's start from scratch. Let's look at this case with a fresh viewpoint and say, okay, we have this phenomenon of 5 or 10% of the sightings we cannot identify. Let's take a look at what we know about those and start again to look for solutions. But right now, as soon as we got wind of something that seems to fly faster than we can fly, it had to be ET, and that's the end of it.
The one hypothesis that's often advanced is that, at the very least, the government is not going to be too thrilled about the revelation that it's not capable of defending its own airspace.
Right, control issues.
I think that's, if there are such things that are really flying around that we can't do anything about, the Air Force is probably not too thrilled to have to admit it.
Well, of course they won't. But also, it's a question of how will the population react. So if they know something, they have this guilty knowledge that something's going on, whatever the answer is, if you reveal that information, what portion of the population is impacted? What portion of private industry is impacted? What about the political ramifications in dealings with other countries?
And, I think there's obviously this strong body of opinion that seems to hold that life is complicated enough, and, let's just not go there.
What about looking backwards through history, reports of flying craft throughout history? Did you get a chance, or have you had a chance to look into those stories?
I don't know a great deal about them. There certainly have been, things like, Elijah's fiery chariot and that kind of thing. To what extent they really resemble UFOs as we know them, kind of remains to be seen.
Pardon me for interrupting, but Jacques Vallée and his most recent book, Wonders, what's it called, Gene? Wonders of Things Seen in the Sky, which is a compendium of UFO reports predating humans' ability to fly. He wrote a whole book that delineated out some really incredible sighting reports that were fairly well documented down through history.
Yeah, I'm, you know, I'm certainly entirely capable of believing that that's happened. I haven't, you know, I don't have enough information to, like, really have an informed opinion about what it might actually be. You know, and again, going back to Jung and saying, yeah, well, people are seeing something, but one doesn't know what.
That book, by the way, Wonders in the Sky, written by Jacques Vallée and Chris Aubeck, and their publisher is the same as your publisher, Richard.
Tom Tarcher?
Yes.
Oh, okay, good, good.
Let me cut in here for a minute. I just want to tell our listeners that your book has really excited me, and it's going to be on my bedstand, and I'm going to be annotating it and underlining things and really digesting some of these wonderful pearls of wisdom that you've been able, in a very effortless way, to elucidate to the reader. Your economy of style and your directness, you're one of the finest writers that we've ever had on this program, and I want to be the first one to congratulate you on this very, very, it's an important book, I think, for any seeker out there that's in any way, shape, or form motivated to really look at these questions and gain some insight. You've done just an admirable job of putting down your thoughts in a very concise manner, and my hat's off to you, and really much luck in this book, and I want to recommend it heartily to all our listeners out there.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate your saying that. That's really good to hear, and it's very encouraging.
And again, ladies and gentlemen, just to tell you before we do our final segment, the book is called Supernatural Writings on an Unknown History, a bunch of papers by Richard Smalley. I want to ask him also a little bit about Da Vinci Code stuff, because we have the movies and the Dan Brown books and all that stuff that I want to hear about. But as I said before, this is a classy book printed in an old-fashioned style, and I think you're just going to love looking at the book, real paper, real printing, and then you read it, and it's a real treat. With Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
If you want to get your website online and you need reliable service, first-class service at the lowest possible price, there's only one place to go. Well, DreamHost has a special promotion with our show where they'll offer you unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click web apps such as WordPress, 24/7 support. You can save over $55. You want to know how? Go to dreamhost.com/radio, dreamhost.com/radio. Whether it's personal mail, whether it's business email, you want reliable, dependable delivery, freedom from spam, freedom from viruses. Well, Polaris Mail offers professional email hosting services for your personal or small business use. Each account uses 25 gigabytes of storage, an easy-to-use webmail interface, and full mobile sync. Sign up today for a 30-day free trial at PolarisMail.com, PolarisMail.com.
Preparedness is simple when you have the right stuff. And with the looming threat of economic collapse and possible service interruption, it's time to get the best-in-class preparedness stuff at DisasterStuff.com. DisasterStuff.com has been serving smart preppers for over 15 years with quality products like Berkey water filters. DisasterStuff.com is the official Berkey in-stock shipping center. And as always, free shipping on all Berkey products. Stock up on water barrels and accessories. Get Country Living or Wonder Mill grain mills, Excalibur food dehydrators, Tatler reusable canning lids, Sun Oven solar cookers, EMP bags to protect sensitive electronics, and don't be without your Life Straw personal water filter, all from DisasterStuff.com. Preparedness is simple with the right stuff from DisasterStuff.com. Freedom through self-reliance and personal responsibility.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Fall in love with food storage savings this February at BePrepared.com. Going on now, BePrepared.com saves you over $300 with a premium 1,600 one-year supply, including 126 cans of freeze-dried and dehydrated food. Or get the new gourmet 14-day food supply with a full 2,000 calories per day with pre-planned menu. Stroganoff and noodles are 20% off with purchase of six or more. Mountain House pork chops are back in stock at 34% off. Pack your own low-moisture foods with our new do-it-yourself Super Pail combo on sale at 22% off. Add to your preparedness with minor surgery kits at 15% off. And wool blended blankets are only $11.89. The February Fall in Love with Savings Sale ends February 28th at BePrepared.com. For contents and details, visit BePrepared.com or call 800-999-1863. The choice is clear. Be unprepared or BePrepared.com.
Jerome Clark, author of the UFO Encyclopedia and other books. You're listening to the Paracast.
With Richard Smollett. On the Paracast, his book is Supernatural with Gene and Chris. We only have one segment left, so I just took this chapter at random. You have a chapter here where you cover the secrets of the Da Vinci Code, and of course we think of the movie and the best-selling novel. So in the practical world, what secrets should we be interested in?
You mean in the Da Vinci Code or just in general?
In general, about the Da Vinci Code.
I think there's been a lot of debunking done, on a lot of things Dan Brown says, and, you know, I think rightly so, although, in his defense, I mean, he is writing a book of fiction, so he's, you know, really entitled to, you know, made up everything in it. Oh, he does say based on...
Well, he didn't make up everything. Holy Blood, Holy Grail, the authors of that book actually sued him for plagiarism, but continue.
Well, yeah, but I my impression was that suit was a little bit of a publicity stunt in and of itself, but I don't know that for being...
You think it sells more books if you're being sued?
Well, you know, and it certainly, if you're the authors of Holy Blood, Holy Grail,
And three people have bought your book, and now you have this best-selling book using similar ideas.
Yeah. I think Holy Blood, Holy Grail actually sold quite well. Well, there are a lot of things to say about the Da Vinci Code. One of the ones that's most interesting is its claim toward the end of the book that we're witnessing some kind of resurgence of the divine feminine. And that's, you know, a major point he makes in it, with Mary Magdalene and, you know, all sorts of other things that, you know, would, want to ruin the plot for the one or two people who left who haven't actually read it. But this kind of resurgence of the divine feminine is kind of interesting. I find it interesting because, yeah, there's, in a way, there's a resurgence of the divine feminine. I mean, churches are trying to avoid, you know, what's considered to be sexist language and that sort of thing. But, any values that, you know, would typically be considered feminine are really not on the upsurge in our society. What we're seeing is kind of this constant increasing drive for the power motive and the profit motive, and you know all these values that were traditionally seen as feminine is like, where are they? Where is this resurgence of the divine feminine now? And I think that's one thing that makes the book interesting, because it points to an incredible longing for a lot of these things. I think it's quite debatable whether we're actually seeing anything like this resurgence that he's talking about. But I think there's an enormous thirst for it, and I think that was one of the most interesting things about the book for me.
Yeah, the whole subject of the Black Madonna, I think. I mean, that's worthy almost of an entire Paracast show.
The figure of Mary in Christianity, Catholicism particularly, has just continued to grow in importance. The first century AD, nobody, paid any particular special attention to Mary, but as, the years went on and the centuries went on, she became more and more, important a figure. And, she just go by the number of Marian sightings there have been. I mean, she's certainly more, important to many people than Jesus or God.
Well, we should also differentiate between Mary, the mother of Jesus in the Christian tradition, and the Magdalene, right, who, according to, Holy Blood, Holy Grail, and revisionist conspiratorial thinking, Mary Magdalene was the wife of Christ, the Black Madonna. But that gets into a whole other matriarchal sort of subject that I don't think we have time to cover.
I mean, on the face of it, there's no particular reason to believe that Jesus wasn't married. It was certainly kind of the standard practice for Jewish men in his era. The chief reason that people, scholars, don't believe Jesus was married is that, in the epistles and whatnot, they're debating about married and that sort of being married. No one's saying, well, Jesus was married, which is an argument, had it been true, they would have, been willing to make. I don't know how much you want to hang on that particular point, but that is a case that's made sometimes. Mary Magdalene is like Jesus herself, like Mary, is in many ways, Mary, the mother of Christ, is a Rorschach blot. There's a great deal that is not known about her, and the way her attitudes toward her have changed over the centuries. Probably don't tell us too much about Mary Magdalene or who she really was, because I'm not sure anyone is going to find that out anytime soon. But it's certainly interested in saying, like, what people's cultural aspirations are and what, how they see women and how they think women are supposed to be seen. Mary Magdalene has sort of gone from this, repentant whore to, Jesus's wife to this advanced mystical adept. What does it say? It says a great deal about, the role of women in our culture and how they want to be seen. Does it say anything about who Mary Magdalene was really, way back when? Not really, because there just isn't too much evidence about it one way or the other.
I'll let you take it from there, Gene.
You just want to get me in trouble, my friend, that's all. And this, I have no opinion. I'm Jewish, so I have no opinion about that. The thing is here, why do we have such trouble figuring out what happened then? I mean, we debate what happened last week on the 24/7 cable news shows. So how can we be sure what happened 1,500 or 2,000 years ago? How do we get it right?
It's impossible.
Well, yeah, that's I think that's very true. And given that we're going to kind of paint, our own picture of, this kind of mythic event in, Western history, at the very least, it's going to tell us something about ourselves. It may not, tell us a great deal about, who these people really were, what they were about. scholars themselves, you know, people who've really, you know, even conventional academic scholars, you know, come up with, you know, very, very different pictures of what was going on back then. And, you know, they say a lot about more about their preconceptions and prejudices than they do about the evidence, which is pretty scant. So I think, you know, at the very least, that kind of, you know, serves as a call for at least some kind of humility about what we may conclude about these things. Of course, you know, so much has been hung on, you know, the historicity of the gospel account and whether Jesus was really resurrected and so on, you know, that for a lot of people, this is, you know, this is a vital matter of faith that they can't, like, really feel they can afford not to take a position on, you know, as little as they know about it, as little as anybody knows about it.
Right. And in the modern age, you're looking at, you know, having to suspend disbelief and abductions, cryptozoological creatures like the Loch Ness Monster, UFOs, Barack Obama. I mean, it doesn't matter where you look in the modern age, you have to have a sense of belief that everything is going the way it should. And we all have to trust that we're moving in a positive direction when, in fact, the facts kind of show that maybe things are a little bit more in upheaval than maybe we would like to think.
Richard Smalley, where can we find more of the stuff you do?
Well, my books are available on Amazon and similar sources and bookstores many places. My website, richardsmalley.com, has a list of them, so you can look there and explore various other works of mine. That would be one place to go.
Okay. And we can find Chris O'Brien at OurStrangePlanet.com. That's OurStrangePlanet.com. You find us at ThePowerCast.com. ThePowerCast.com. Richard Smalley, thanks for joining us on The PowerCast.
Thank you. It's been my pleasure.
The PowerCast, featuring Gene Steinberg and Christopher O'Brien, is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in The PowerCast. America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNlive.com, click on the banner, and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit and carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Ted Anderson, I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Hello?
Congratulations.
For what?
For losing all that weight. How'd you do it so fast?
ASAP.
ASAP what? What's that mean?
Are you ready to get as skinny as possible, as soon as possible, as simple as possible, and as sexy as possible?
I'm listening.
Then get with the ASAP program. It's real and it works. No smooth talk, no slick advertising, and no exaggerated claims of success.
I've got to know more.
Welcome to ASAP. As slim as possible. Whether you have 10, 20, or 50 pounds to lose, ASAP is your weight loss answer. ASAP targets the abnormal fat reserves and makes them available to be burned as fuel and contains no caffeine or hormones. Order ASAP at wholesale prices or join the team to share the business with others. Visit GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Lose weight and look great with ASAP, as slim as possible.